The old Chinese proverb, one picture is worth a thousand words, is really just as true when reversed. One word can be worth a thousand pictures. For instance, how many images flash into our mind at the mention of that simple word, love? Words have even greater power when they are propelled by deep feelings. Speech can have an incredible impact on us, on what we do, on what we say, on what we want. Critical words can condemn a person, or welcoming words can make a friend out of an outcast, even a leper. Words can hurt or they can heal. We have just listened to some words, the Word of God in Scripture. That is always a powerful word. And what impact does that word have on us? Does it make any difference that Jesus could heal with a word, as he did in today's gospel? Is that good news for you and your family and for the people that you love? The Word of God proclaimed here is the root of our faith. Without it, we would not know the Father or the Spirit. We would not know the church or the Christian community. Without this Word of God, we would actually be cut off from the very source of our life in Christ. We would be rootless. We would face death with no hope of resurrection. We would have no healing in our life without this Word of God. And that is why the early church was so fascinated by the healing ministry of Jesus. The very fact that there are so many accounts of healing in the gospel reflects the attraction those early Christians had to these events. And there are two reasons for that. The first is the Word of God tells us who we are. And second, the Word of God makes us who we are. It tells us who we are, and then it makes us who we are. Jesus healed, so do we. We are healers. Like Jesus, we ordinary people of the church are sent out to heal the people in this broken world. And that's what Evelyn Frost once wrote, "The temperature of the spiritual life of the church is always the index of her power to heal." Now today, unfortunately, we casually explain away the gospel healings by saying the age of miracles is over. But by that we abdicate our responsibility to continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus the healer, as St. Paul just told us we are supposed to do. There may be fewer miracles these days, but there is always a need for healing. We people may not be miracle workers, but we must always be healers, wherever we are. Now the church's claim to be a healing presence in this world is for some people, unfortunately, a kind of joke. They know us people, ordinary people, who are the church. They know how imperfect we are if we claim to be healers. They point to our sins and they call us hypocrites. And they are right. All of us are sinners. This has always been the constant problem of the church, right on down through the centuries. No human gathering of ordinary people can ever be perfect. On our own, we people cannot heal anyone. We cannot even pretend to be using our own powers, because it is God who has chosen us weak people. We know that we are sinners, but He still has chosen us weak as we are. That is why so often St. Paul would ask the Lord to take away the illness, the problem that made him so weak. The Lord would always reply to Paul, "It is through your very weakness that the power of the Lord can be made complete." As I've told you before, the very same spiritual principle is that on which my own ministry has been based. As much as I might pray that my physical weakness would be removed, the Lord's answer is the same as to Paul. It is only when we acknowledge how weak we are, how sinful we are, that the Lord's power is able to be made effective, working through a channel of a weak person. It means that the word of the Lord continually calls us to turn around and face the Lord, to repent. And now in Lent, to learn how to trust even more in God's healing mercy that is revealed to us in the word of Jesus. Those few passages we heard today should bring to mind all of the good news of the gospel, that this holy word always brings us healing, whatever the content might be on any given Sunday. It makes us people, ordinary people, into members of a healing church. Not only when we gather for the Eucharist, but also when we go out and scatter, when we go home, live our ordinary lives. Especially, this pertains to marriage, a difficult vocation, even on Valentine's Day. Whatever else might be said about it, marriage is always a great educational experience. One either learns this delicate, difficult art of living with another human being, or else the marriage begins to deteriorate and perhaps even falls apart. The constant need for sensitivity, patience, understanding, knowing when to speak the right word, knowing when to hold one's tongue and not say the wrong word. These happen to be some of the most difficult virtues for us human beings. And yet they are absolutely indispensable to hold a marriage together. The partners either learn to practice them almost at once, or else a marriage can turn into a constant round, a constant ongoing round of fighting and quarreling and bickering with the use of the wrong words. Words are powerful. Marriage is a difficult educational experience. Much harder, married people always find, than they thought it would be when they began. And yet, as the years go on, they will always admit that it was worth the effort. Marriage can be one of the greatest burdens that a human person can take on, but it also happens to bring some of the best rewards. And if a person can learn how to live in this demanding intimacy of marriage, then apparently there is no other human relationship that could present too much of a problem. Always the willingness to forgive in any kind of close relationship. Because we people give offense, we offend others. We hurt and we are hurt by others. We are injured by others and we injure others, either by what we do, but so often by what we say. the power of the spoken word. And that is why in marriage and in any kind of relationship, it is indispensable that we learn how to be gracious. Graciously ask for pardon, gracefully grant pardon. And then after it's all over, not to act as if nothing had ever happened, but to remember that is to have become an occasion of growth. The very fact of the word, the healing word of apology. For us now in the Eucharist, this word about healing is actually a word of healing. The proclaiming and the preaching of the Word of God is always a kind of sacrament. It is a sign that actually causes what it describes. What we say now causes what we are describing. It means that the English word healing and wholeness go together. To be healed means to be made whole, to become integrated. That is the kind of healing that here in the Eucharist, God our Father actually gives to us. It happens. It is sacramental. The Father makes us more whole here than when we came in. What each one of us here lacks individually, the Father fills the emptiness. Even what we need now as a community, the Father supplies to us. When we people hurt, when we hurt in our heart or in our spirit, the Father is able to heal and to cure by the word that comes like dew into your dry spirits. That is why when this happens individually, it happens as a parish community. This becomes a place of healing. There's no reason for us even to be here, except that our God, who loves us unconditionally, called, invited each one of us to be here. We are gathered together by his love. Once we were scattered, now we have been brought together. And so our existence as a parish is a sign that God's healing power is actually active, dynamic in this broken world. But there's one more step. We must be more than a sign of healing. We people individually, personally, must become healers. God's word has given us the agenda of what we are to do. What Jesus did, we must do. What he did, now we do in his holy name. Let us pray. Called to wholeness by the Word of God, let us offer our prayer in confidence that the Lord may bless the efforts of all people who bring healing care to the suffering. We pray to the Lord. That the Lord may bless and guide our government leaders, our pastors and bishops in their work. We pray to the Lord. That our breaking of the bread this day